Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph at the Mishnah at the top of the Amud. Teaches us the Mishnah Hashoychet Esam Mesukenes. If somebody shechs an animal which is very, very not well, Mesukenes means its life is in danger. The Mishnah, the Gemara will begin to discuss what is the halacha. There are many explanations offered by the Rishonim and the Achronim when the Mishnah uses the words hashoichet. As we know from throughout our Masechta, that typically when the Mishnah uses the word hashoichet, it means bedieved. And the question is, what is the halacha, as we're going to see in the Gemara, if somebody shechts a mesukenes, is it only kosher lechat bedieved? Shoichet means only bedieved, or does it mean even lechatchila? So Tosfos says, because as we're going to learn in our Mishnah, when we shecht a mesukenes, we have to see the situation of the animal as the Gemara is going to describe. So since we have to see the status of this animal, it's not open and shut that we may allow to be shechted, and that's why the Mishnah uses the word hashoichet. Another explanation is based on what we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Amud Beis. We're going to learn in Amud Beis that Yecheskel never ate from an animal that was a mesukenes. As the Gemara is going to explain, that he didn't rely on Basar Shehayir b'Chochem. Any meat that required a psak from a rov to say was kosher, wasn't clear kosher, he didn't eat. So therefore, the Mishnah uses the word hashoichet to indicate that it's only b'dieved, there are people that are machmer that to eat it. But then there's another pshat, because our Mishnah also is going to speak about hashoichet b'layla, if somebody shechs by night. So even though we're going to learn that maybe I'm shoichet mesukenes, when we were able to identify this animal as a healthy animal, the halacha is that the animal, that the shechita is a kosher shechita, even lechatchila, everybody agrees that a shoichet belayla, shechting an animal by night, is only acceptable by the Eved. And since everybody agrees that that's only acceptable by the Eved, so that's why the Mishnah uses the word hashoichet, even when it speaks about the mesukenes. So the question is, what is the status of that animal? We can't say that the animal is kosher because we have to be until Achat Tferches Viregel. Only if the animal sticks out Yad, means one of the front legs, and Regel means one of the back legs, then and only then can we be certain that the animal expired because of the shechita and not because of its disease. Rabbi Lezer says we don't have to have pirchus as an indication that this animal is died because of shechita. Dayem zimka, if it spurts blood after it dies, that's a proof that it had still enough vitality that it died because of the shechita and not because of any other reason. Rav Shimon, and continues, Rav Shimon teaches us, hashoichet b'layla, if somebody shechs by night, and here the shechita makes it very clear that everybody is in agreement that shechita should not be done by night. It's only acceptable by the eved. Ulamachar hishkim, and the animal that was slaughtered by night was a mesukenes. And since the animal was slaughtered by night was a mesukenes, and we can't see if what happened, did the animal have the signs of pirchus or whatever else to prove that it died because of the shechita? So says the Mishnah, Lamacha Hishkim, or Matzak Salim Malayim Dam. In the morning you wake up and you see that the walls of the animal, the Beis HaShechita, are full of blood. So that's the proof that the animal spurted blood. This is a proof that it spurted blood, committed Rabbi Elazar, which Rabbi Elazar just taught us, that if the animal spurts blood, it's a proof that it died because of the shechita. Rashi paskins that when we say that it has blood, it means that there's blood on the skin of the animal. Because if the skin of, if there's blood in the spot where the net was slit, that isn't a proof that the animal died because of the shechita. When you cut the neck of an animal, it's going to bleed. And the blood that's there is coming from the bleeding. It isn't an indication, shezimka. Says the Gemara, this is going to be according to Rabbi Elazar. But according to Shimon Gamliel, who began the Mishnah with saying that the proof that the animal died is pirchus. So this, the fact that the animal is has blood there, is not going to be enough of a proof that the animal died because of the shechita. And moreover, what, if we didn't see the pirchus at the time of the shechita, by the morning it's going to be too late. V'chamayimrim atche tefarchis. Rav Chama disagrees with Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel has that it has to put out a front leg and a back leg. They say oy biyad oy beregel, a front leg or a back leg. Either one is going to be enough. Or till it wags its tail. That will be the proof that it died because of the shechita. It's interesting, machlok, interesting discussion, and that is that if the animal did not have pirchus, and therefore was saying that we can't eat that animal, we can't rely on the shechita. What would be the halacha regarding tumas nevela? So it's interesting to point out that the Miri has an interesting approach to this. Miri's approach is that it has issa nevela. We're not allowed to eat the meat because it's nevela, but it doesn't have tumas nevela, as we've been discussing and will continue discussing. And nevela is metama. So here, it won't have that. And Rabbi Aaron Kotlin, the Sefer Mishnah's Aaron, of course, tries to understand this halacha. He says, if it's usher to be eaten because it's nevela, it should be also have tumas nevela or not. Well, how do we separate, asks Rabbi Aaron, between issa nevela and tumas nevela? He says, so he explains that we're going to be learning in our sugya that pirchus means it has to do the pirchus after the shechita. And the reason it does that pirchus is only considered a sign that it died because of the shechita. If the shechita it was after the shechita, because then we have to be concerned that the animal did not die because of the shechita alone. The only reason the animal died is because you had a combination of the shechita together with the fact that the animal was so sick. So what that means is that an animal could only be eaten if it was if expired only because of shechita. That's as far as Hilchus Is Nevela is concerned. The issa to eat an animal that's nevela is only that the only time there is no issa nevela is if the animal died solely because of shechita. But, says Rabbi Aaron, that's halacha regarding Is Nevela. When we speak about Tumas Nevela doesn't have that halacha. And the halacha is that if the animal died from shechita, even though it wasn't the only contributing factor to its death, it also died because of it was Mesukenes, it really won't have Tumas Nevela. The Rambam writes that if you shechted a Mesukenes, as we just discussed at night, and we don't know if there was pirchus or not, the halacha is that this is a suffic nevela. And the question is, why, asked the Chassam Sofer, don't we say that it has a cheskes chaya? And we anything that has a cheskes chay, the status quo always tells us that we assumed that it died in the last moment. If we're assuming that it died in the last moment, that means it died after the shechita. And if it died after the shechita, it should be fine, says the Chassam Sofer, that although it does have a cheskes chaya, with that chazaka is a cheskes, that a status quo, that it died in the later moment versus the earlier moment, it also has a cheskes isser. A cheskes isser means that it was a cheskes, as Rashi said before, of eina zavuach. And that chazaka didn't change if I don't know that the shechita was done properly. And therefore, since we have that chazaka of Eina Zavuach, therefore halacha is we can't rely on the fact that there's a suffix and rely on the cheskas chai. The Mishnah said that according to Shimon, according to Elazar, there's dayim zinka, that animals, as they pass away, they spurt blood. And the question is, according, the machloikas is, explains Rashi in the Shita, that according to Elazar, it has to have a very powerful expulsion of blood. That's what normally happens when an animal dies from shechita. And according to Reb Shimon, the halacha will be that you have to, as long as there was a spurting of blood, even if it wasn't full, even if it didn't travel that far, that will be already considered enough to be considered a zinuk. There's another fundamental question that has to be discussed in this Mishnah. Is of course we know that before somebody does a shechita, he has to make a bracha, a mitzvah shechita. And the question is, when we speak about a bracha, we learn always that a bracha has to be recited over the siyasan before we perform a mitzvah. What's going to be the halacha if somebody's shechting musukenes, where it is a real concern that this animal will not be permitted to be eaten? And if this animal will not be permitted to be eaten, the bracha will be a bracha levatala. So what should you do with the bracha? The Gemara in Masechta Brachim also discusses the question of making a bracha over the siyasan regarding a ger who goes to the mikveh to become a ger. And the halacha is that obviously he can't make a bracha before the tefillah, because at that point he's still not a Jew. So the Gemara Masechta Pesachim Daf Ayin teaches us that such a case, a person, the ger, should only make the bracha after he goes to the mikveh. Says the Agos Ashri that halacha applies in other areas of halacha as well. That even though a bracha should always be recited before one does a mitzvah, if one didn't have that, one couldn't make the bracha before the mitzvah, he could make the bracha after. And therefore the Ramah says that if somebody is shechting a musukenes, he should make the bracha after the shechita when he knows that the animal is not available. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam's opinion is that although, as the Gemara Masechta Pesachim says, the case of a tefillas ger is an exception, and the halacha is a ger can make the bracha even after the tefillah. In all other cases, says the Rambam, if somebody forgot to make a bracha before he did the mitzvah, he can't make the bracha afterwards. And the Shach paskins like the Rambam, based on the famous concept of Suffolk brachas lahakol. Says Rav Kiva Eger, if that's the case, the psak that we just quoted from the Ramah, that if somebody shechs a musukenes, he should make the bracha after the shechita, is not the psak that we should follow. If somebody shechs a musukenes, he can't make a bracha before, and he shouldn't make a bracha afterwards either. The Taz says, so therefore, if somebody shechs a musukenes, he should also say that he should also have in mind that he should shecht more than one animal and shecht a healthy animal. And then when he's shechting the healthy animal, of course he makes the bracha before the shechita. And with that bracha, he has a mind not just on the healthy animal, he also has a mind the not healthy animal, the sukenis, and he doesn't have to make a separate bracha. Now, according to this, we could understand what we started the shiur with. We started the shiur with a discussion that the Mishnah used the word hashaychet, which means b'di'evit. And we asked, why does the Mishnah use the word hashaychet, which only means b'di'evit? Why didn't the Mishnah say that it's even acceptable l'chatchila to shecht the mesukenes when you have the proof that it died because of the shechita? The answer is, because as we're learning now, certainly according to the Rambam and according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, according to the Shach, you're not going to be able to make a bracha on that shechita. Since you're not going to be able to make a bracha on that shechita, that's why it's a shechita that you should try to avoid using. Here, we're learning the halacha of a shechit ha-mesukenes. And this is a relevant discussion because particularly over the years where our enemies have tried to outlaw shechita or tried to make modification in shechita, one of the things that they have said should be done is that they should add electrical impulses to the animal before the shechita. And this was an issue that the Nazis, one of their first decrees was, as they were trying to attack shechita, this was one of the first things that they instituted. Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal, in the Sefer Sri Deish, he was one of the Gedolei Yisrael that was very involved in that issue, and he has a discussion about adding electrical impulse before the shechita. And he gives many reasons why one should not be allowed to do it. One is because what we're learning here. We just learned in our Gemara, and our Mishnah, and we're going to learn in the Gemara, that there's a concept of an animal who's a mesukenes that has all of its own set of rules. And there's a concern that doing that, adding that electric shock makes it into a mesukenes. Another consideration is that it may make it into a trefa that we're learning is can't be eaten. There's another halach that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the next parak about nefula, an animal that was thrown down that causes its internal organs to get adversely affected, and that might happen through electrocution. There's another concept of risuk averim, that its organs get shaken up. That could be caused because of that. There's also a concern, he mentions, that this animal that was electrocuted cannot live for 12 months. And an animal that cannot live for 12 months may automatically be considered like a trefa, an animal that we're not allowed to eat. And therefore, because of all of these concerns, the Gedolei Yisrael were very, very against allowing any type of electrocution of animal before the shechita. The other discussion is that what we're learning in the Mishnah, different opinions, but the opinion of most is that pirchus is a sign that the animal died because of the shechita, not because it was a mesukenes. And the Shaul Tshuvas de Rechaim has a discussion in Yoredeya Simon Beis. What's going to be the halacha? Samach Beis, I'm sorry. What's going to be halacha if an animal showed pirchus well after the shechita? What will be the halacha? And he seems to say, he says that the animal having pirchus, it's considered, it doesn't make a difference where it had the sricha. But he says, therefore he says that even if the pirchus took place quite a while after the shechita, that it would be mutter. Michas Elazar seems to disagree. Michas Elazar says that if the pirchus did not take place right after the shechita, if the pirchus only took place much later on, there's a question what that means. I've seen opinions as soon as 6 or 7 minutes after the shechita. So then the pirchus is not an indication that there was vitality in this animal. What that pirchus really is an indication is that the animal, that this pirchus is being caused because of nerves, part of the nervous system still working. And therefore, that it isn't a raya. And his opinion was that unless the pirchus that's mentioned in the Mishnah takes place right after the Shechita, we can't rely on the Perkis. Says the Mishnah, these halachas that we have been discussing apply echad behema daka, vechad behema gasa. Whether it's a small animal, a goat, a sheep, or a bull, or a cow. Says the Gemara, however, behema daka, when we speak about a behema daka, shepashta yada, that it put out its hand at the pashta yada, it put out its hand at the time of the shechita, the halacha is the loyach zira, and it doesn't take it back. Psula. She'ena ela atzos nafshu bevad. The sticking out of the hand is not considered an act of pirchus. And since it's not considered an act of pirchus, many animals, most animals stick out their hands. And therefore, just sticking out the hand doesn't represent pirchus. But that's by behema daka. By behema gasa, the halacha will be that if it sticks out its hand, that is, even though it didn't take it back, it's going to be kosher. Because a big animal just sticking out its hand is enough of an indication that it died because of shechita, that was considered pirchus. Says the Gemara Medvar Amurim, when do these halachas apply? Says the Mishnah, Shaisu Becheskes Musukenes, when we saw that the animal was ill. Avam Hoysu Becheskes Bria, if we see that the animal is a healthy animal, Afila Ein Bay Echad Mikol Simanim Alalu, it doesn't have to have any of these signs. If the animal is a healthy animal, then Sheirup, we could eat the animal that was slaughtered. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says that the Musukenes may be eaten. We have to have a proof that it died because of the shechita, but the fact that it's a musukenes does not prohibit it from being eaten. Ask the Gemara, musukenes from Maida Sharia, from where do we know that musukenes may be eaten? Ask the Gemara, or my tesek adat and dasira. Why would we say that it's also that we need a proof that it's mutter? Says the Gemara, because the pasuk says, the ksiv, when the Torah speaks about what makes an animal kosher or not kosher, the pasuk says, from here we learn, an animal that's a healthy animal you may eat, but an animal that won't survive, we're not allowed to eat. And says the Gemara, when we're speaking about this animal in our Mishnah, that is an animal that's very ill, and since it's very ill, therefore, it's not going to survive. And that's why it should be awesome. Answers the Gemara, mid amar rachmana, the fact that the Torah says nevela toichel, as we often discuss in our shiurim, the Torah says that one may not eat a nevela. The point is that a nevela that died without proper shechita may not be eaten. Don't we learn from here? Bechlal, isn't this approved? Musukenes sharia, an animal that's musukenes, may be eaten. Because says the Gemara, this alkadatch musukenes esira, if you're going to say an animal which is a musukenes, may not be eaten based on the pasuk of Zoy Sechaya. So the question is, hashta, an animal that's musukenes, is musukenes while it's still alive. And if we're learning hashta michai masira, while the animal is still alive, it already becomes also to be eaten. Lach misa mibayir, certainly after it dies, it should not be allowed to be eaten. So, why, dima, says so we see that it's only nevela that's also not a musukenes. Ask the Rabbi Duma, what the Torah means to say is heine nevela, heine musukenes. Nevela is included in the concept of musukenes. An animal that won't survive, that is also to be eaten. And lo seichel kol nevela is coming to teach us, if we only had the pasuk of zoi sachaya, that would not be considered a lav. Because since the Torah is formulating its words in a Lashon Aseh, Zoy Sachay Chayesh Techelu, and yes, we're extrapolating from that, if it's not going to live, then it's not allowed to be eaten, but that's called a lav abo mechlal aseh. But the Gemara wants to say that if somebody eats such an animal, he's over a lav. So the Pasuk is saying, by nevela, by teaching us the halacha of nevela, that a musukenes is asur, says the Marlai Sakadatach, that the Pasuk, when it says nevela, means a musukenes. The Ksiv, Because when the Torah speaks about a nevela, Torah Kedusha says, "V'chiyamus man behem asher lechem la'ochla." And the geber, the vlosser, this is the halacha that somebody who touches a nevela, the halacha is that he's tamei lachemisa. And we see the pasuk says v'chiyamus. Do we see from here that achemisa who the kai rechmana nevela? It's only considered a nevela after it dies. Michayim loyikur nevela. As long as it's alive, it's not called a nevela. So therefore, a musukenes can't be included in nevela, because if it's also michayim, why do we need to talk about that it's death? Vayelam says the Mara, it's not yet approved. Loyalai machlach hay nevela hay musukenes. A nevela is a musukenes. But what the Torah means to say is that if the animal is still alive, there's an Isser Aseh, and once the animal dies, there's not only a Mitzvah Aseh to eat it, not to eat it, there's a lav. Ella, says the Gemara, the proof that a Mesukenes, we're back to our question, how do we know that a Mesukenes may be eaten? Says the Gemara, El Midam Rechman, a Trefa Leisaychel, the animal says, that an animal, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, that has one of the physical defects, that's a trefa, that we're going to learn as a proof that it can't survive, it may not eat, be eaten. As the Torah says, Obas basa the trefa loisachelu. That clearly, says the Gemara, is an indication, Bechlal, Mesukenes Shari, that an animal that's a Mesukenes may be eaten. For says the Gemara, this Alkadatak Mesukenes Asira, if we're going to say that we're not allowed to eat a Mesukenes, there's no physical organ that's affected when it's mesukenes. It's just sick. The Torah says it's also trefa that has a missing limb or a diseased limbs and organs is certainly also. Why does the Torah single out a trefa? From here we see that only a trefa is also, but a mesukenes is not usur. And obviously, the pasuk of Zayis Achayish Techelu, which we wanted to use to teach that a Mesukenes is usur, will be needed to use for a different limit. Says the Gemara, no. V'dilma ha'inu treifa ha'inu Mesukenes. When the Torah speaks about a treifa, it speaks about an animal that's very sick. And therefore, whether it's sick with one of the defects that makes it into a treifa, or whether it's sick because it's a mesukenes and may not be eaten. So if that's the way we're learning, that means is that a mesukenes is in the category of a trefa. So why does the Torah have to speak both about a mesukenes and a trefa? Says the Gemara, lava alav, says the Gemara, because we're going to be over two isurim. One is the iser asay of Zoysachaya, and also the Loisa say of Trefa Loisachelu. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that the words Trefa Loisachelu are also including, says the Gemara, a Musukenes, imke Nevela de Kos Rachmona, that the Torah said we're not allowed to eat a Nevela. And the Torah says that even though it was a Musukenes, the Torah says a Nevela is Osir, to tell us that it's also a lav, lumali, why would we need a lav by nevela that it may not be eaten? We already have a lav from trefa, and we're going to say as follows. While this animal is alive, you already have the lav of trefa, and that's seif chaya. So why would we need another lav, falachamisa miboya, says the Gemara? No. The Gemara is still persisting that maybe everything the Torah is talking about is a Mesukenes. V'dama ha'inu nevela, ha'inu trefa, ha'inu Mesukenes. An animal that's a Mesukenes has all of these characteristics. And why does the Torah have to keep on mentioning it separately? It says the Gemara, lava la b'shnei lava v'asei, that yes, as we said before, this nevela will only kick in after it dies. But what the Torah says, that after it dies, there'll be an Issa Nevela. And while it's, and before it dies, already has the Isser Asay of Zois Achaya and has the Isser Asay of Trefa. So we don't yet have a proof that Musukenis is Mutter, says the Gemara. Elamehocha. The way we know that an animal that's just sick, but not a Trefa, and certainly not an Avela, is not a non-kosher animal, is the Pasuk says regarding the Issa Chalev. We know that we're not allowed to eat certain fats in animals. And the Pasuk says, V'chelev nevelev v'chefa trefa, yas l'cha malacha, v'cha loy sechlua. We're not allowed to eat the chalev of the, we're not allowed to eat the nevela of anything. Why does it say yas l'cha malacha? So there's a machloitis in Masech the Pesachim. Rabbi Kiva says that the Pasuk is coming to tell us that the chalev of a nevela, as we always have been learning, a nevela is matama, but the chalev of a nevela is not matama. And Rabbi Yosef Aglili says that the Pasuk is coming to teach us that the chalev of a nevela is mutabano, says the Gemara Amamar. And when we learn this Pasuk, the question is, Lamai Hilchasa, why does the Torah have to say that we're not allowed to eat it? The Torah already teaches us that in Parshas VaYikra, actually, the chol nevela v'chol dam lo yisoich elu. So we know we're not allowed to eat chalev. Why does the Torah have to mention here again the chalev nevela v'chalev trefa yas l'chol malacha v'ach lo yisoich elu, that we're not allowed to eat it? Says the Gemara, what the Torah is trying to teach us is amitah yoveh is nevela v'yoch lo yisoich elu. That means when you have chalev of a nevela, besides that it has an issa chalev, it also has an Isser Nevela. Even though, as we're going to learn, normally we say Ein Isser Chalal Isser, and this Chalev is already Osser because it's Chalev, but here it's considered an Isser Moisif. Because till now, the Chalev of the animal was Osser, but the rest of the animal was Mutter. But now that it became a Nevela, so the Isser spread to the entire animal. Since the Issa spread to the entire animal, that's called the Issa Moisev, and then we say Issa Chalal Isser. And that's what the Torah says. Yove Issa Nevelev, Yochal Issa Chalev, Yove Issa Trefa, Yochal Issa Chalev. So therefore, if somebody eats the Chalev of Nevela, he's going to be Chayev for Nevela for Chalev. If somebody's going to eat the Chalev of a Trefa, he's going to be Chayev because of Chalev and Trefa. And the Torah is teaching us that we do not say in such a situation, Ein Issa Chalal Issa. But ask the Gemara, V'salkadatach Trefa and Musukenis, if we're going to say that when the Torah speaks about a Trefa, the Torah also means a Musukenis, so ask the Gemara, Lich Rechman Chalav Nevela Yasul Chal Malacha. It would be enough for the Torah to say, Chalav Nevela Yasul Chal Malacha, to teach us that there's no Tumas Nevela on the Chalev. And that Tariq has said, the Chalev Trefa is a Chalev, that teaches that we're not allowed to eat the Chalev of a Trefa, and that the Issa Trefa is Chal on Chalev, as we just said. It's not considered a circumstance of Eina Issa Chalal Issa. Vani Oimer, and Vana Amina, and then we could extrapolate. If Umam Michayim, if the animal became a musukenes, and was saying that it's osur. We say that issa trefa is chala issa chalev, and not a chalev is osur both because of chalev and trefa. Lacha misa meboyi. So certainly after the animal died without shkita, the nevela, this and nevela will be chal on the chalev, and it wouldn't be necessary to say that the din of chalev nevela. Says the Gemara, the fact, the kosher rachmana nevela, the fact that the Torah went out away to say the Issa Chalev, even by nevela, is mechlal to teach it to trefa loin la mesukenes. A trefa is not a mesukenes. A mesukenes is not osur. And then the pasuk says that when the mesukenes died without us seeing that it had a proper shechita, that it's going to be then a nevela, and that Issa is going to be on the Chalev as well. So what we see from here, however, is that the Issa Trefa, that the Issa Trefa does not apply to the Issa Nevela, to Mesukenes. And that's why it's a raya that musukenes may be eaten. So ask the Rishonim. So we're learning that musukenes is not usur from a kal v'chomer. But ask the Rishonim that we have a rule throughout Shas, Ramban asked this question, that ain't on Shemin Adin, that we can't learn halachas through a kal v'chomer, and here we are. So the Shita says an interesting teretz based on the Magen Mishnah. He says something which was already usur, there we can learn through a kal v'chomer to make it more usur. So when do we say ain't on Shemin Adin? When we want to create an isur from scratch. But when we're talking about our Isser Nevela, Isser Trefa, we're already in Isser Chalev, which already Osir, and we just want to spread the Isser, there we can use a Kal V'Chomer to teach, we can use a Kal V'Chomer to teach various halachas. Ask the Gemara, Maskuv lo ma Barav Ashi, v'dim alay lamach, the Gemara still persists. Dilma, maybe we should say Hain a Trefa and a Musukenes. A Trefa and a Musukenes are the same. Ah, your question was that why would it therefore be necessary with the Kamrit, Nevela the Kos Rachman Alamli? Why was it necessary for the Torah to speak about Nevela? If it already says Nevela, Musukenes is also, and Chelev is also, certainly so should be the Alocha by a Trefa. Says the Marad Lahach Nevela, the Lahasa Musukenes. The Torah come to teach us in Nevela. Doesn't become usur, is usur even when it was a musukenes. What does that mean? The Gemara is saying that every nevela, an animal, is a musukenes when we start killing it. You cut off the head or you cut into the body, there was no time that it was a musukenes. And that's what the pasuk is teaching us, that there's an isur nevela, and there's an nevela even on the chalif. So that's what it's needed for. And that's why the Torah said it. And it says, even when it was killed in such a quick fashion, it's first the musukenes. That's the fact by every animal the Gemara is suggesting. And therefore, if musukenes is asur, we don't need to have this pasuk. Vibay Seima, says the Gemara, if another way of learning that a musukenes is mutter, because why did the Torah speak about chalev twice? Chalev nevel, chalev trefa. The pasuk says the word chalev zuhi by nevela and trefa is their halacha. Shein chel b'chol m'sara by a trefa and by nevela. It's both going to have Issa Chalev and Issa Trefa, Issa Chalev and Issa Nevela. V'yeshlecha Cheres, but there's going to be another case, Shechelba Asur Cholk B'Besara, that the Chalev is Asur, but the Basur is Mutter. What is that case? Musukenes. So the Torah here is telling us that a Musukenes is Mutter. V'yibay Seima, another way of learning how we know that a Musukenes is Mutter from Miacham. Yecheskel Navi tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that in order to have kapara on the various of Klal Yisrael, Yecheskel has to do various things to suffer. He speaks about, the Pasuk speaks about the Yecheskel Perek Dalet, that he has to lay on his left side for 390 days, and then for 40 days has to lay on his right side. During that time, he could only be eating bread that is not so, that is mos, in only a small amount of bread. That bread, as it's baked, should be baked in a very unappealing fashion. And Yecheskel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vama aho Hashem Elohim, Hine nafshi loy mutama, v'nevelim natrefa loy echalti minori v'ad ato, v'loy bo na b'fi bosa pigol. And he's saying, how could you suggest that I should eat meat that is trefa, the halacha is that minuri v'ata, from when I was a young man, I was always careful. And the Gemara now explains, what did he mean to say? Hine nafshi l'matama, that it can't mean, explained the Mefarshim, that Yecheskel say that he wasn't Tamei. It doesn't mean that it can't mean that he was never Tamei, because since Yecheskel was a Kohen, so it's impossible to say that he became Tamei. They're saying that he never became Tamei. Of course he never became Tamei. Rather, what it meant was, I didn't have improper thoughts by day, that I shouldn't have come to do the wrong thing by night. As the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah explains, the pasuk says, when the Shmat be called Davara, Shlo Yahar Adam B'yoyim, a person shouldn't have improper thoughts by day, V'yavle Dei Tuma B'layla. So the question is, of course, what is Yecheskel saying that I didn't do, that I was very careful? As we just learned, this is required of every person. So that's nothing, something to be so proud of. So Tysus explains that since it's very complicated for a person to prevent something like this from happening, that therefore he said, I was able to control myself that it never happened. Others explain what it means is that he didn't even start. The people that they start having an improper thought and they catch themselves. But he didn't even have that. Another explanation that I saw is that here he says, from when I was a young man. When a person is a young person, it's much more complicated that to control himself. And he says, even when I was young, I was able to overcome. I was able to overcome any improper machshavas. The Shita has another explanation. The Shita says what it means is that he didn't even think about things that maybe you're allowed to think about, things that you're allowed to think about, but he didn't think about those things because when you start thinking about things that you're allowed to think about, it may come to think about things that you're not allowed to think about. The Nevela and the Trevor like Altim and the Eri. And again, the question is, what is Yecheskel saying that he didn't eat a Nevela Trefa? No one's allowed to eat a Nevela Trefa. That's not anything to be so proud about. Says the Gemara, what Yecheskel meant to say was, Shloichalti basa kos kos ma'alam. I never ate from an animal which was a sukenes. And when you have a musukenes, you say kos kos. You tell people, let's check this animal very quickly. Because if we don't check it quickly, it may expire before we have a time to do shchita. Furthermore, what he says, "V'loy baba pi basa pigol shloim mechati behema." I never ate from an animal shahir b'chacham that needed a rav to paskin to paskin that it's mutar. And here again, the mefarshim explain that what happens when you have a shaila. In other words, the question is that how does the word pigol, what does that have to do with meat that has a shaila? So the Mefarshim explained, the Mashal explains, because what happens when you have a Shaila? The Shaila means that you had a Machshava, maybe this meat should not be eaten. And therefore you go, that's the same as Pigel. What does Pigel mean? That you had improper Machshava. So therefore, meat that had a Shaila is called Basa Trefa. Ramosh explains why should you not be allowed to eat, but there has a shayla in it? Because obviously, says Rav Moshe, if there was a shayla, that means you don't have a shayla without something being wrong. And therefore, Yecheskel's opinion was that as soon as there was a reisa in the meat, he right away didn't, as soon as there was a reisa in the meat, he didn't say anything. Which opens up a very complicated question. And that is, let's say you have a piece of meat that there was a shiloh on and the raw paskin that it's mutter. So the question is, what's the status of that meat? For me, it's mutter. For me, it may be a hefs and merubah. And that's why it's mutter. But for the other person, the halacha is, it's not possible, it's not a shaila. And what will be the halacha? The Chasam Sofer opinion is that anything that had a shaila, we have a obligation to notify people that there was a shaila and it was mutter. The Pesachet Tshuva says there's a difference between if there's other meat available or there is no other meat available. There are those that differentiate between meat that belongs to a Jew, they were concerned about Hefzer Meruba, versus meat that doesn't belong to non-Jew. The Alta von Slobodka and the Sefer Chachmas HaMatzpon explains what's pshat in this Gemara. He says when a person does an Aveira, it's an indication that it's affecting his neshama. If a person's attitude to his Averis, if a person's attitude to an Aveira is that it's something that I have to stay away from, therefore that's what a person means. And therefore I saw the Ramosha in Yerideya, Chelik Aleph Simon Ches, says that when is the halacha that you shouldn't eat from meat Shalai Hari B'chachem? Ramosha wants to suggest that that's only by something that everybody, that you're a person that's always machmer. So if you're a person that's always machmer, so then you should be machmer if there's a shaila. But if you're not a person that's always machmer, and now you're going to say, here I'm being machmer, Ramosha says, that's not considered a case of Basar Shahari B'chachem. According to that, we could understand perhaps why if something was declared kosher, even though it was a Hefzer Meruba for the owner but not for others, we don't have to notify anybody, because if you're not machmer all the time, says Ramosha, we don't have to be machmer. Shem Nosan Amru, what Yechezkel meant was, Shleichalti mibehem shleihorba matanaseho, that I didn't eat from an animal that they didn't take off the matnas kuna. There are many ways of learning this Gemara. The simplest way of learning this, because there's one question that we know that matnas kuna, that certain portion of the animal has to be given to the kohen. We know that when we speak about produce, and we speak about trumas amaisris, until the trumas amaisris are removed, the produce is considered tevel. So the question is, what is the status of an animal who they did not take off the matnas kuna? Is it tevel? So if that's the case, what Yechezkel is saying, how do we understand it to be something so great? Of course it's tevel, and the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat tevel. So many mefarshim explain, as we said a few moments ago, Yechezkel was a kohen. So Yechezkel was entitled to eat those matnas kuna from that animal, since he's a kohen anyway. What he said was that even though I'm allowed to eat from this animal, he was careful not to eat from the animal until the matnas kuna were properly removed. So says the Gemara, Yam b'shlama sharia, if we're going to say that Musukenis is mutter, so now we could understand what Yechezkel was proud of, Heiner versus Yechezkel, that even though it's mutter, he didn't eat it. Eli Amrit Asira, if we say it's also my revus of the Cheskel. It's interesting to point out that the Tfu Shor, which we've quoted, a very important sefer in Hilchas Shechita, says the Bezman Azeh, the minig is that no one eats Musukenes meat. And says the Gemara, Hechidom in Musukenes, how do we identify an animal as being a Musukenes? Says the Gemara, Amri Yudom, Kalshem Amidim, Oysa, an animal that we try to stand it up, Ve'enoi Medes. Rav Chanan Basalma, Mishmei, the Rav Amar, Afilu Echelis Bekoyes, even if it eats pieces of wood, if it's too weak and we try to stand it up and it doesn't stand up, that's enough to make it into Musukenes. Rambi Yechezko Amar Afilu Echelis Koyres, even if it's able to eat beams. So again, that should show a certain vitality. Still, if when you try to stand it up, it doesn't stand up by itself, then the halach is that it's considered a misukenis. But I saw that both the Das Torah and the Aruch HaShulchan Paskin, So let's say you have an animal that has a broken foot, and that's why we could attribute its inability to stand up. Then the halacha will be that's not considered a mesakenis. Says the Gemara, the Surah Masna Haki. This was the version that they learned in Surah. But says the Gemara, Medis Masna Haki. Hechidam mesakenis, Amri Vidam Rav, Kol Shem Midnai Savayna Medes. If you stand that up and it can't stand, Vafilu Eichlus Bekiyas, even if it eats pieces of wood, if it can't stand up, it's a riot, it's a musukenes. Rami Cheskel Amar Filo Achelz Kairis. Even if it eats beams, if it can't stand up, it's going to be a musukenes. But according to Rav Yehuda Merav, if it eats beams, then even though it can't stand up, the tzuraya that it can't, that it's not a musukenes, that it's going to maybe be a ride, that it's not a musukenes. Others say, why indeed, that I saw the many Rishonim suggest, the Meiri, why if it's so strong that it can eat beams, do we still consider it a musukenes? Because it might be very hungry, says the Meiri. And somebody that's very hungry, an animal that's very hungry, will eat anything, even though it's halachically considered a musukenes.